Hi, this is Amber Nash, and you're listening to the FSF Popcast.
Hello, guys, and welcome to the FSF Podcast. I'm Tim. I'm your host. And of course, Kathleen is here with me to help us introduce our guest this week, who is an amazing actress who just completed a 14-year run on the critically acclaimed series Archer as, of course, the character Pam Puvey. She's also starring in a recent indie movie called How to Ruin the Holidays. Fantastic, by the way. I was able to get a chance to watch that. And there's a lot more that we're going to talk with her about today, and we can't wait to get into it. So how about we stop stalling and we just introduce Amber Nash. Welcome to the show, Amber.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Same. We're excited to be here. We're excited that you're here. How about let's put it that way. So yeah, so I mentioned that 14 years on Archer, which is a great animated show. I was one of those shows that I remember when my oldest son started telling me he was watching it, and I was like, oh. You don't say. Yeah. And then he started quoting some of the things from Archer, and I was like, maybe not in front of your mother.
Yeah.
So he actually, my son Parker is the one who got me into Archer and watching it, because he was telling me things about it, and I was like, I gotta check this out. excuse me. So yeah, so that's how I got into it. But yeah, so that show has finally come to its conclusion. It's run for 14 years. It's been nominated and won a whole bunch of awards. And for the entirety of that time, you were Pam Puvey. So my question is for you, what is the greatest lesson that you learned playing the character of Pam Puvey? And what will you miss the most?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think the greatest lesson that I learned playing Pam Puvey is not to give a F. Like, just don't care. Like, she is who she is, and she doesn't care what you think or anybody else thinks, and she's going to do what she wants, and she's got a huge heart. And I feel like just being like, just be yourself. Like, she really, and the thing is when they introduced the character of Pam in the first episode, the way that she was written made it seem like she was just there to like be the butt of a few jokes. And that was kind of the end of it. Like, she wasn't a very well developed character at the time. Right. And then she kind of grew into this character that was like, oh, we'll just have Pam do it. And so then she had all these cool things she could do after a while. And she became like this fan favorite that people loved, and like weirdly a sex symbol. And all of that was because she didn't care what people thought. And so I think that's why it's such a good lesson, is like, she can be everything while not trying to be anything for anybody. And that I'm going to miss playing Pam because she's got such a big heart. It's so weird to talk about an animated character like this, but she's got such a big heart, and she taught a lot of people, I think, not to judge a book by its cover, and that you might be surprised by what's going on underneath that blonde hair.
Well, I look at animated characters much the same I do as live action characters. If they're written well and performed well, you're going to have a vested interest in them. And, you know, and so I think that's one of the great things and testament to that show and your character of Pam, is that she was written in such a way that not only I found her funny, but she was also, you know, very, you know, independent, and I could do what I need to do. And I don't, like you said, here is my field. Look, it is barren. I don't care. There are none to give, you know, and,
Yes.
I do appreciate that about her. And I think that that's a wonderful characteristic that I think a lot of people can really, you know, kind of attach to and say, that's what I would either like to be, or that's what I resonate most with her about. So,
yeah, it's so true. And, you know, talking about like the characters and feeling the same way you would about a live action character, when we first started making the show, I remember asking Adam, like, well, what do you want her to sound like? And they're like, we want her to sound like you. And you know, nobody's doing character voices on that show except for Adam, who is playing Gillette, and he's got like the most charactery voice. But if you hear him talk in real life, he actually is a pretty Southern man. But it's because they wanted the characters to be real. You know, they wanted it to be somebody that you feel like you know, that is somebody that you could encounter in a regular everyday scenario. And so it's great that that comes across, because that's exactly what they were going for. Because they wanted it basically to be, I just forgot the name of the show. It'll come back to me.
It'll circle around.
I feel like, too, though, that they can sneak so many more life lessons into adult animation than we would be willing to listen to from, like, a sitcom. I don't want to watch these people complain about their lives. Hey, but look, cartoon characters are doing the same thing, and now I'm going to pay attention, and now I'm going to listen.
Totally. They also, I think, got away with a lot more, like, dirty stuff, that if it was, like, two human beings doing it, they'd be like, you can't do this. And, sex scenes that were like, oh my god, you guys, and they got away with them because it was animated characters.
Yeah,
just a drawing.
Yeah, there's so much of that show that would not have been aired if it was physical human beings, I think, but because it was animated, they're like
expensive.
Yeah, I'm like, it's cartoon, no big deal.
Yeah,
not real.
Right, when an intimacy coordinator for a live action show would just be like, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. Arrested Development. They just basically wanted this to be an animated version of Arrested Development with spies.
I love that.
Boy, that's... My mind just went... I never thought of it in that way, but you know what? Yeah, I can see that now. I honestly never made that connection. That's fantastic.
Your mind explosions have happened a lot lately, Tim. I'm a little concerned.
Well, there's not much left there to explode. But on the other hand, our last few guests have really kind of keyed me into a few things where I'm like, shows that I have liked or characters that I have liked and all these different things. Like, we had author Frank Bedour on a little while ago, who writes a series of books that are... like a modern retelling of Alice in Wonderland. And it's really very cool. And he is very in depth on all things Alice in Wonderland. And there was things that happened in the movie, The Matrix, that I did not realize that were Alice in Wonderland adjacent or like directly involved with Alice in Wonderland. He's like, oh yeah, heavily involved. And he started laying them all out. And it was like, I'm like, I've only got so much left. Please stop.
4th of July fireworks spectacular inside.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, what is it being killed by bourbon at night? It's getting killed by this guy right now. So, you know, the fact I'm able to string together sentences some days.
Oh, goodness. So, Amber, your work on Archer was scripted in a vocal booth, which seems to be the exact opposite of your live acting improv, which I think sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And you do have some experience, if I understand correctly, doing the improv. So what is it that you enjoy about comedy improv, and what can we all do to support it as an art form?
Oh, God. I came up doing improv. The only reason I'm an actor is because I started at an improv theater. And I learned everything that I know about theater, doing improv and working at a theater, because it's also Dad's Garage is the theater that I'm from in Atlanta. And we're an improv theater, but we're also a theater that does fully scripted productions of shows too. They're always comedy, but they're written by our company members for the most part. And the thing, I mean, improv is just so... Now, after years of having done improv, and I still do, I'm actually going to do a show tomorrow night. Like, I still am on stage all the time. Is that it's so freeing and open, because I don't have to memorize any lines. I can just instinctually go with what I think is the audience is digging. I can be in any scenario. Like, it doesn't matter the set that I'm on. It doesn't matter the clothes or the skin that I'm in. Like, I can be any character. People make fun of me at the theater all the time because they've been playing with me for so many years. And I always love to play old men. Like, playing old men is my favorite thing. So it's just so freeing. And I get to truly express myself as an artist. I'm not saying someone else's words. They're my words. So you're kind of writing and directing and creating characters all at the same time. So it is really truly wonderful. There's plenty of bad improv out there, just like there's plenty of bad comedy, you know. But it's, I think supporting local theater is so important, because people think, like, I was doing a show in Vegas last summer, and we were talking about how lots of people go to Vegas and they're like, well, I'm going to go see a show while I'm in Vegas, but they would never see a show at home. And it's like, why not? You've got definitely something. Mm-hmm. There's live theater that happens everywhere. And so, you know, people don't think about, especially younger people, like, you know, theaters for old folks. But going to see a theater show, there's so much great comedy in every town. There's definitely comedy going on in every single town. And, you know, especially like university towns, there's always some university improv groups. And it's a really lovely thing that you're sharing that one night with just the people that are in that room, especially in an improv show. And so I really encourage people to go out and see what's going on in their community, because you never know. You might see the next, you know, person that's going to be on SNL, or you might see the next movie star. So it is a really wonderful way, or a gem that maybe nobody else is going to see. It's just somebody that you and your town get to appreciate. So there's really great stuff going on in every corner of the country, all over the world.
As you said that theater was for old folks, all my brain heard was, well, Muffy, we're going to the theater today. But, yeah. So grab my smokes in my coat.
Anyway. The idea of getting to play, I mean, any character that you want to in improv is fascinating. That's wonderful. I can also completely understand playing an old man character would be so freeing. I worked for 6 years in nursing homes, and old men have no filter. No. Like,
yeah,
that would be fun to get to say those totally. Things and have it be okay.
Yeah, and you know, for me too, I think one of the reasons why it started is because I wanted to be like, because old men don't care what people think they look like. This is going back to another Pam thing. It's like I was able to be like ugly on stage. I didn't have to care about what happened. I could be like, you know, rolling around on the floor and not care if my outfit got messed up. Like, it's just like not given an F, and being able to just be in the moment and make some jokes.
I can see that.
I need to find improv.
Nearing old man stage. I might enjoy that here shortly. So at least that's what Kathleen keeps telling me. So
you've got the title.
Anyway,
it makes you extra.
I old. Do. So yeah, it does. Well, my knees were telling me that I was a grandpa this morning, so it works. All right.
If it makes you feel any better, let me make Tim feel better first.
Okay.
I will put this one out there just for Tim and the rest of the internet. I might tease you about being old, but I threw my neck out sneezing this morning.
Oh, no. It's always the stupidest thing. Like, I was stretching yesterday while I was waiting for a burrito, and I was like, oh shit.
My neck. This is how I die.
I was waiting for a burrito. It's not like I'm doing something important.
Well, I mean, waiting for a burrito is important, but
yeah, well, that's true. Sure.
So yeah.
I just love that we have this in recording now.
You're welcome. It's right up there with your back spasming when you get scared by your toaster.
That's okay. I was laying in bed last night and I reached over to rub my wife's calf with my foot, and my foot cramped. I was like, what the hell? Just out of the blue. All right. Enough about old people, body issues. So Amber, one of the things that we love to talk with our guests about, especially when we're aware that this is something that they do, is any type of charitable work or things that are near and dear to their hearts. Now, we were able to find out that you do some work with a Georgia-based chimpanzee sanctuary, and that you work as a board member on that, along with Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, which I think is just the coolest thing. So how did this all come about, and how can people help?
Yeah. So when I was in college, I studied psychology. I got a degree in psychology because I was going to have a real job. And part of what I studied at Georgia State University was primate behavior. And so I fell in love with the whole world of primates. And there was a time where I was like, I'm going to work with primates. That obviously didn't happen. And then I became an actor, and then I started doing Archer. And through Archer, I, of course, got close to Judy Greer, and Judy's husband, Dean Johnson, works for Bill Maher as a producer. And so those guys know, and they're also friends with Billy Joe and his wife, Adrienne. And this is such a long-winded way to explain this, but they Adrian's friend had started this chimpanzee sanctuary in Georgia, and they live in like Northern California. So because Dean and Judy knew about this place and were big supporters of it, they were like, we were at dinner one night after like an award show for Archer, and they were talking about chimps. And I was like, whoa, I have an interest in chimps. And they're like, oh my God, we're supporters of this chimpanzee sanctuary that's really close to Atlanta. It's like 2 hours north of Atlanta. And so I had kind of heard a little bit about it. It hadn't been open that long. And I was like, wait a minute, I think I know about this place. And they're like, you need to go. You need to find out all about it. So they got me in touch with the people at Project Chimps. And I went and did a tour. And literally the first time I stepped out of my car, we're in the North Georgia Mountains, out in the middle of nowhere. And I opened my door and I could hear chimps like screaming in the distance. And it was like, it was so jarring because you're in North Georgia and you're like, I know chimps don't live here naturally. Right. And the sound of them was so incredible. And I just immediately started crying. And I got to see the facility, and it's an amazing, beautiful place. And so in 2016, it became illegal to do research on chimpanzees because captive chimpanzees were put on the endangered species list. So there was all these chimps in laboratories all over the United States that needed a place to go. And so some sanctuaries popped up. Some existing sanctuaries took in chimps because there was hundreds of chimps. And they weren't always necessarily appropriate to go to zoos because a lot of them had been in medical research and they were, you know, frankly, like kind of messed up. And so that's the really sad thing. And so all the chimps from at Project Chimps come from one research facility, and they were used mainly in medical research. But they're incredible, and they get to go to the sanctuary, and they're not there for the public. They're not there for people to come and look at. They're there to just live their best chimp lives. So there's amazing caregivers, and they have all this land to roam. And they had lived in laboratories like their whole lives, like from the time they were born. And so none of these chimps have ever been outside. And so when they get to the sanctuary, they come in groups of 10 that are like family groups, and they have to go through a quarantine process just to make sure they're not bringing in any kind of disease that'll affect the rest of the chimps. And after quarantine, the first thing they do is they get the opportunity to go outside. And there's videos on projectchimps.org, and you will cry your eyes out because some of them are like really excited and want to know and bring their friends along. And some of them still to this day, there's chimps that won't go outside because they're like, I don't know what's out there. I've never been out there before. So it's a really magical. Yeah. It's a really magical, beautiful place. And all these chimps are living incredible lives there. The best way to support is probably through just knowing about it, going to their site, watching their stuff that's on Instagram and YouTube, and donating, always little small donations. They do like where you can adopt a chimp. And so you'll get updates about the chimp and you make like monthly donations and know all about what's going on in their lives. It's a really wonderful place. And there's great content online that you can check out of all the chimps and what they're up to.
There was a website, I'm pretty sure it was on YouTube actually. I was watching a video of some animals that were being tested. I believe it was dogs, mm-hmm. and who had been test subjects, you know, for years, and they got to go outside, and the reaction of watching them touch grass for the first time and trying to figure out what that big glowing orb up in the sky was and all these different. Yeah. Tears.
Yeah.
I'm a big softy for animals anyway. So it doesn't take much. Animals and kids. And I'll grab a box of Kleenex and sit down to watch Project Chimps later.
I've already started going through to meet the chimps, and I'm just scrolling through their little faces
God. That's the thing too, is that they're like just as, you know, you think of a chimp in your mind, and you're like, I know what a chimp looks like. And then you see that they're like people. Every face is different, and they're all different ages. There's some young chimps and some older chimps there, and there's just so many. And they've got great stories. Kathleen, as you're going through later today, definitely check out Kareem. He's like everybody's favorite, and he's got such an incredible story. Yeah, it's a wonderful place.
I'm just going through looking at their faces. Oh my goodness, Gracie! Look at Gracie's little face. It doesn't want to show because it's too cute. The internet can't handle it.
Oh, I know, they're the best.
My little face.
I know, they're so sweet. Oh God,
I got totally distracted. We'll make sure to put our interview just by this.
That's okay. We'll make sure to put a link for Project Chimps down in the show notes down below, so that everybody else can go take a look and get their oohs and ahs and
get their
tear ducts cleaned out.
I know that they could very easily kill me, but I want to go live with
them. They could. And if people are in North Georgia, while the place is not open for the public to go tour, there are like opportunities for people to go. Like every October they do something called Chimp or Treat, and kids can come and trick or treat around the outside of the sanctuary. And so, and the chimps love children for some reason. They think they're fascinating, particularly when they're wearing costumes. So the chimps get excited because they can see all these kids, and the kids can see the chimps, and they get candy, and it's super fun. So there are opportunities throughout the year where people can go and see the sanctuary. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Oh my goodness. So rewinding a little bit to talk about Archer again, there are people who go to conventions dressed as Pam, which is super cool. But like, how weird is that for you? How weird is it that your animated character is now walking around as other people? And then do you have cool fan interactions that you've had with any Pam cosplayers?
Yeah, the very first time I experienced it was weird. But then every time after that, I'm just like, yes. And I get excited to see like how, you know, what different thing this person's doing. And people take it so seriously and spend so much time and energy making like incredible costumes. I mean, you guys know all about cosplay. Like there's so many incredible cosplayers out there. Mm-hmm. The very first time I saw a Pam cosplayer was a man named Adam Hughes, who is a comic book artist. And his wife is a makeup artist, and he dressed as Pam. And so it was like a man Pam, and he was fantastic. And this was before you could find any Pam wigs. And so they had created a wig from a Cinderella wig, and he looked so incredible. And I was so extremely excited to see Pam in real life. So that was my first experience. And every time since then, there's a cosplayer that did Pam and made the, what's it called? What's the Jaeger on Archer called? Jaegermeister. They have a different name for it. I can't remember what it is. But they have the Jaegermeister machine that Pam was carrying around that they made out, that actually worked and dispensed Jaegermeister. Like just incredible, incredible stuff. It's super, super fun. So I've gotten to meet a lot of really great Pam cosplayers. And actually way back in the day, I did like an Instagram Pam cosplay contest, and a bunch of people sent in pictures of them as Pam, and I sent them the winner some stuff. And then I got in trouble with FX, and they're like, you can't just be doing your own contests online. And I was like, oh, sorry. But yeah, there's so much great cosplay out there. And the crazy thing to me is not cosplayers or seeing somebody dressed as Pam, but it's when somebody has a Pam tattoo and they're like, lift up their skirt and it's like a whole thigh tattoo.
My gosh.
It's like, holy shit. It's crazy, but it's fantastic to see.
You love me so
according
much.
According to
into your skin.
Yeah.
I had to look it up because I couldn't remember. But according to Archer Wiki, it is called Schutzenmeister.
Yes.
And there's
yes.
you.
Yes.
I love that.
Oh, and this cosplayer made the machine and like had the logo that was created by Floyd County for Schutzenmeister. It was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that is really cool. Especially if it's actually dispensing real Jaeger.
Yes, and we were at a con, so I was doing like shots out of this Schutzenmeister on my knees. It was shit. Like, because we at Dragon Con in Atlanta, it happens in September every year. Mm-hmm. We would have some like Pam and Archer cosplay meetups because Lucky and I both live here, and this is where the show is made, so all the animators live here and all the producers. So we would go to this meetup and do like a picture. And so it'd be me and like 30 Pams. It is absolutely incredible. That was absolutely mind blowing.
Pam, 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 Pam.
And all different Pams. Like, oh, incredible.
That's fantastic. That'd be fun to watch, actually. All right. So in the intro, we also mentioned your recent movie, How to Ruin the Holidays, that you starred in alongside Colin Mochrie and Aisha Tyler, and there's a few others. Thanks for the screener, by the way. That was a lot of fun to watch. And I love that you guys got Sally Jesse Raphael to make a cameo. And if that wasn't Sally Jesse Raphael, then there was a, it looked like Sally Jesse Raphael. The red glasses, I was like, oh my God, that's Sally Jesse Raphael.
Wait, what part are you talking about?
It was pretty early in the beginning. They're like, hey, didn't I see you at some improv thing the other night? And you're like, yeah.
That's an actress from Atlanta named Leslie Sharp.
Well, Leslie Sharp, you look a lot like Sally Jesse Raphael, and I'm of a certain age, apparently, where I can remember who Sally Jesse Raphael was because she was on TV when I came home from school.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. I was like, wow, they got her for a cameo. That's great.
That's funny. And Sally Jesse Raphael from 30 years ago, because who knows what Sally Jesse Raphael's got to be like in her 70s, 80s now.
You know, I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right. Yeah, that would have been that was time machine Sally Jesse Raphael, apparently.
Yeah.
That happened. That's funny. So, and I just also wanted to point out that I totally would have killed your sister in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. So for those of in the audience who are wondering what I'm rambling on about, would you mind taking a moment to tell people about How to Ruin the Holidays and where people can watch it?
Yeah. So How to Ruin the Holidays is a story of a struggling comedian that has moved from her hometown, lives in LA now. She hasn't been home for years because she's got a complicated relationship with her family. Her sister kind of like tricks her into coming home for Christmas. And as usual, it's a shit show. Nobody has their shit together. People are causing trouble. And she feels kind of like she's kind of obligated to stay and help figure everything out. It's me and then my father's played by Colin Mochrie, improv legend Colin Mochrie, Canadian mm-hmm. superstar. My sister's played by Kate Lambert. And then I have a brother with special needs who's played by actor with special needs, Luke Davis, who is an incredible actor.
Phenomenal job. Yeah.
He's so good. He's so great at it. And it's just kind of about how the family is dealing with Christmas, which everybody can understand and appreciate family dynamics during the holidays. And it's funny, but it's also sweet and heartfelt. And mm-hmm. It was written by my husband, Kevin Galise, based on a lot of, stuff from his own life. He grew up with a brother with special needs. The character's named after him, Mark. And, it's available on Amazon. I know that people probably don't want to watch a holiday movie in the middle of, you know, February, but you can wait until later in the year and it'll probably still be on Amazon, if not other places by then too.
Well, I watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation almost year round, so that really doesn't much matter to me.
It is one of my favorites too.
It's just there. Yeah. And yeah, Colin Mochrie, by the way, in this is fantastic. It's kind of weird at some points to kind of see him be a serious actor because yeah. I'm not used to him, you know. It's like the first time I ever saw Jim Carrey do something serious. I'm like, this just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, but you come around to it very quickly with Colin because he's such a likable character and such a likable mm-hmm. actor. You buy into him as you're in the role of your father very quickly. Once you get past the, you know, whose line is it anyway portion of your brain with mm-hmm. Colin, it's very, very enjoyable with him.
Yeah.
And by the way, I also want to point out that if he actually had to drink a Miller Lite with an egg mixed into it, the man needs a raise because I about threw up. I was like, oh, God.
He is. I think part of the reason why he's so likable on camera is because he genuinely is an incredibly likable, wonderful person in real life. And when we were shooting that scene, because it's Miller Lite eggnog and a raw egg, he's such a champ. He didn't not. We definitely switched it out. There's not a real raw egg in there because we're also like, we don't want to kill him. We don't want to give him salmonella poisoning on our, like, you know, 10th day of shooting or something. He's such a champ, so wonderful, and worked for nothing and was just like the best. He's such an incredible guy. And, you know, when Kevin wrote the part for Colin, because we were like, we asked Colin if he would do it. Kevin wrote the part for him. And we knew that he was probably going to be excited to do something that people aren't used to seeing him do. And mm-hmm. so there's plenty of comedy moments, but the fact that he gets to really stretch as an actor and, mm-hmm. It's just really wonderful to watch. And he was so lovely to work with. Like there were scenes that, you know, I'm primarily a comedy actor too. And so there's things that I had never done before, and to have Colin there with me, and supporting me in those moments was really, fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Cause seeing him, especially the some of the emotions around, finding out that the, you know, that your sister's character, the character of your sister, wanted to sell the house and, mm-hmm. you know, pry it from my cold, dead hands and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I love the fact that you guys worked in a few nerd quotes into the movie, by the way. That was kind of nice.
Yeah. And we had the National Lampoon's moment. Do you remember it?
I watched this a couple days ago, and there's been a lot of interaction with my grandson. So remind me.
It was the putting the lights lighting with the.
There's it's a very enjoyable movie, and I think it's one that it doesn't necessarily need to be watched around Christmas time, because there's so many other relatable things in the movie, especially about family interactions and dealing with family members, because those stresses, although they might be get heightened around holiday times,
right,
those are things that people deal with every day. So I think there's some constant things where there's
totally
it's evergreen content, in my opinion. It's not just
we're dealing with, you know, aging parents and wanting to stay in their home, and what to do with because one of the big things that's happening in the movie is Dad is getting a little older and maybe not as safe to be by himself. And he's also the primary caregiver for Luke, who's an adult with special needs, and he's got needs that maybe aren't being met. And it's also like, what happens then when the primary caregiver is gone? And so it's like, you're right. There's a lot of stuff that it doesn't have to be the holidays to deal with.
It translates over very well, I think. And it's got enough seriousness and I think enough comedy to hold people's attention. It's not one where you're, for the first couple minutes in, I think it sets up the premise of the story quite well, and it hooks you in and grabs you, and you go, oh, okay, I can watch this, I can pay attention to this. So I think it's very well done. Tell your husband Charlie Good Show on writing the movie.
So, looking at everything that we've talked about tonight and everything that we haven't, there's a lot of stuff in your career that we haven't talked about. But a voice actor, a stage performer, an advocate for chimpanzees. If you could give a piece of advice to someone on a similar course as you have been, or a piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be?
Wow. I think that one of the things that can be challenging, particularly being somebody that never moved to LA or New York, like I lived in Atlanta and I've stayed in Atlanta because I was always working here, but I always wanted to have bigger opportunities. And the thing that I kept waiting for was somebody to make something that was perfect for me. And I would have been waiting for the rest of my life. So the path that I took, which I would totally encourage people to take if they can, is to make your own stuff, create your own opportunities, you know, find ways to do what you want to do, even though it might not be on the scale that you want it to be, to show people what you're capable of and not wait for somebody to be like, here's the perfect thing that's going to change the trajectory of your career, to just make your own stuff. And I learned that through just being an improviser and going to the theater every night and doing shows for an audience and figuring out what people like and what my comedic voice was. So I think it's make your own stuff. Do what you love. Don't wait for somebody to tell you it's okay to do it and they want you to do it. Do it because you want to do it. And you might not have the audience size that you want. And, you know, so many people are doing that now. And this wasn't around when I first started doing it on social media. So it's like there's this huge audience now for people to, like, put their stuff out there. And a lot of people are and having great success at it. So do the thing you want to do, whether or not people want you to do it or not.
I love that.
That's great advice, honestly.
I feel like teenage me needed that too. Do what you want. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, because things aren't always going to be perfect. You're never going to find the right perfect thing. And like you said, waiting for the thing that's going to change the trajectory of your life I think that's a rather rare thing in all walks of life, where you get that golden goose to just sit down in front of you and go, okay, here it is. Enjoy. Yeah. You know, so most people, I think, who have found some level of success is because they've worked for it. They've pushed for it. They've reached for it. They've, you know, they're earning it. Yeah. So I think that's really good advice.
Thank you.
All right, Amber, we have one final question for you. And we call this one our silly question. See, because the rest of them were kind of serious. And so this one is our silly question. Okay. And Kathleen and I decided to ask this question of our guest because she had noticed that at a certain point in life, people stop asking you this question. And, well, frankly, we think it's a damn shame and that you should be asked this question always.
Okay.
So the question is, Amber Nash, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, wow. I think I'm a pterodactyl gal.
Ooh, that's one we haven't gotten yet.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think we have gotten that one.
I haven't gotten a pterodactyl yet.
Yeah, I think they're amazing. And I think that they're probably still around. They're still around, guys. Just watch the History Channel. There's lots of shows that talk about how pterodactyls are still probably around. Mothman, that's probably just a pterodactyl.
Ooh.
You know?
Well, we're from Michigan, so Mothman's a really pretty big thing over here. So,
is it really?
Oh, horribly so.
That's great.
Yeah, especially as you get closer to the bridge, or on the Lower Peninsula, going to over the Mackinac Bridge into the UP. Oh, yeah. Yeah, really big in the UP.
Wow.
There's this funny little chunk right in about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it's all Mothman all the time.
Well, it's probably just a pterodactyl.
I would believe that there were pterodactyls in northern Michigan.
Of all the places in the world, northern Michigan is, of course, where they're still at.
We just think that they're geese. There's enough geese that the pterodactyls can just hide in the in the giant groups of geese.
Well, you'll never hear them because they pee silently. Right? Pterodactyl pee. Anyway, okay.
You may have been...
I give up.
You may have been increased to granddad, but your dad jokes are
no, I still work with the dad jokes. It's kind of my shing. It's what I do.
Oh my goodness, Amber, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. We have enjoyed this conversation so much.
Yeah,
where can our viewers and our listeners go to find out more about you and your work?
You can follow me on Instagram, Amber C. Nash. Also on Twitter X, is that what it's called? X. I'm on TikTok, but I don't post very much, but I want to change that. So I'm going to start posting more on TikTok. So Amber C. Nash, just about everywhere, and you can find out what's going on.
Awesome. Right, well, cool. We will link your socials. We're also going to link for the Chimpanzee Sanctuary because I've already started doing the, which one of them can I sponsor?
It's a great Christmas gift. Somebody wants to know what to get you for Christmas.
I love that idea. Love that
That's idea. Great. All right, guys, we just want to remind you that subscribing is the most important thing you can do. It helps us to continue our show, helps it to grow, helps us to get amazing guests like Amber Nash here today. This has been fantastic. And all these moments for you guys to be able to laugh at and listen to and enjoy. So please click the like and subscribe button as you watch this video. And be sure to go check out the Chimpanzee Sanctuary. Grab your box of tissues, go cry and watch the chimpanzees, because I'm going to do that as soon as I click the end button. I'll be going and checking that out. But there's a lot of cool things happening over there. So make sure you do that. And Amber, again, thank you for your time. Thank you for making some time for us and coming on the show today.
Thanks, guys. Right.
They also have an Amazon wish list for the chimpanzees.
Yeah, you can send them like cashews and toys and all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's going in the links too. All right. That's all going in there. All right, guys, support the chimpanzees. Goodbye.
Bye.
Copyright 2024 FSF Podcast. Reference to any specific product or entity mentioned on this podcast does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by FSF Podcast. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact us via email at info@fsfpopcast.com.